Creator God, we ask you to open our eyes that we may see the Christ in each other. And so relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Open our ears, O God, that we may hear your word. And that word will influence our lives. Open our lips, that we may speak only that which is pleasing to you, words that build up each other. Open our hearts, O God, that we may experience your grace. And that grace will be sufficient for us. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I preach you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It is not difficult for us to understand why the disciples were having trouble believing in the resurrection. For it was not often that people would come back from the dead, even though they would have seen Jesus raise Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow of Nain, and of course called Lazarus forth from the grave. But perhaps it was the way that Jesus died that was causing them to have this difficulty, because he died on the cross, a slow, painful death. And of course the soldiers made sure he was dead when they stabbed him with the spear in the side. That wound would have punctured his heart. And so they were having real problems. Even though Jesus told them that he would rise again on the third day. And so they were really having difficulty. But the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, gives us several instances where Jesus, the risen Christ, appeared to his disciples. He appeared to Mary Magdalene near the tomb, and Mary recognized him as her Lord and Master. And he would tell Mary to go and tell his disciples. And she went with the news. Of course, they wouldn't have difficulty believing Mary, probably feeling that, well, you know, she was so steeped in her grief that she was seeing things. But then John tells us that Jesus appeared to his disciples in the house where the doors were locked. They gathered together in fear because now they were without a shepherd. And so they locked themselves away from the Jews, and Jesus appeared to them. Jesus greeted them with the greeting of peace. But Thomas was not there. And Thomas was, like so many of us, a very practical person. Thomas had to see to believe. He had to touch to believe. So when they told Thomas that they had seen the Lord, he would say, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas wanted what we would refer to as concrete evidence that Jesus indeed was risen. And so John tells us that a week later, Jesus appeared to the disciples again in the same place. And this time, Thomas was with them. And Jesus, of course, knowing all things, would say to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Because Jesus understood the importance of his disciples believing in the resurrection. For the resurrection, more than any other event in his life, demonstrated that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. The resurrection would be a sign of hope and God's presence for all those who would believe in it. The resurrection would be saying to people throughout the ages that whatever the circumstances, light will always overcome darkness, and goodness would always overcome evil. Even though darkness may seem to triumph or evil seem to have the upper hand, light will always conquer and goodness will always prevail. And so it was important that the disciples believe in the risen Christ. And so we are not told whether Thomas really put his hand in the wounds, but Thomas acknowledged Jesus. He would say, my Lord and my God. And what is important for us to reflect on was Jesus' response to him. Jesus says to Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe. Blessed are those who have not seen but yet come to believe. And we see the power of those words when we read Luke's account of the activities of the early church in the Acts of the Apostles. And perhaps what is taking place weeks after the resurrection, as these believers come together to begin what we refer to as the church today, is perhaps the best and the greatest evidence of the resurrection. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Luke tells us that God added 3,000 to their number in one day. So the church, the group, was growing. And he continues to describe their activities. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So the group, that early group of believers, represented a teaching and learning church. The apostles taught, and the people were willing and open to learn about Jesus. They shared a fellowship, a togetherness, a sense of unity, which expressed itself in generous action. And so what Luke describes for us is a worshiping church, a praying church, a church where people responded to each other in love. Luke says they spent much time together in the temple. They would sell their possessions and distribute the proceeds as any had need. They ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And so, like an embryo, the early church continued to grow, even as they became mature in their faith and their belief that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, the Son of God, who was raised from the dead. And so what do we see? We see really a transformation of the way in which people understood about God. The way in which they allowed their understanding and their knowledge of God to influence their lives, to influence their actions. We see a group of people who believe that whatever they possess represented blessings from God. And they would not keep those blessings to themselves. They would share it with others. Because they understood what Jesus meant when he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." They recognize that the love of Jesus involves sacrifice. It involved generosity. It involved caring for people and looking after their needs. And so they would respond in the way that they believed that Jesus would want them to respond in that time and in those circumstances. And so in our first reading for today from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, we see the evidence of this fellowship. We see evidence of their faith in the risen Christ. We see it expressed in love. And so Luke would say the whole group of those who believed were united in they were of one heart and one soul. A sense of unity and togetherness that was unique. For when people are united in heart and soul, it means that they have one understanding, they have one vision, they have one purpose that drives them not only as individuals, but as a group. So they were together, not only physically together, they were emotionally and more importantly, spiritually together. And this togetherness expressed itself in action, generous action. No one claimed that what they had was their own. Everything they had was held in common. And so the apostles continued to teach, and the people continued with open hearts to learn and to respond. And so Luke actually could boast that there was never a needy person among them. You know, there's a hymn that speaks of such love. And of course, it speaks of the love of Jesus, the love that will cause him to give up his divine nature and come as a human being, vulnerable and weak in this world. But really, belief in Jesus helps us to demonstrate such love. Those who own land would go and sell it and bring the proceeds to the apostles so that they could distribute to those who did not have. you get a sense that they understood that as God blesses me, I am called to bless others. And so those who believe in the resurrection will allow that belief to transform their lives, to make them more sensitive to the needs of others, to give them an understanding of their possessions, so that they see these possessions as blessings, gifts from God. And so if God has blessed me, then I must bless others. And so their faith was not a faith that they lived unto themselves. It was a faith that caused them to carry out loving and generous actions. They would share what they had with others so that all could have, so that all could experience God's blessings, so that all could really be one in heart and soul. And when we reflect on that, the nature of that church in the Acts of the Apostles, we can't help but think about the church today. We are the church today. We are called to believe in this age in the risen Christ. And we've just celebrated Easter for another year. What difference has that celebration, that reminder of this great act that demonstrates God's love for us, how has that influenced our lives? As we go about our business every day, where's the evidence that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Are we, for example, prepared to share that knowledge with others? To proclaim the good news that God so loved the world that God gave God's one and only Son? Do we see what we have as blessings? That family that God has given us? That home that God has given us? Those gifts that God has given us so that we could look after ourselves and be generous to others? Do we acknowledge the blessings that we have received? Because acknowledging those blessings means that we know and we are sure that Christ indeed is risen, and that Christ is with us, and that even though we will be facing challenges in this world, that Jesus goes with us, and therefore we will be able to overcome. Even death we will overcome. And so that belief and that understanding must influence our lives. It must influence how we see ourselves. Because if we believe in the resurrection, and that, of course, must be good news for us, we have to share that good news with others. We have to try to help them to get to that place where they too believe it. We have to demonstrate our love for God in Christ by action, not by words. Because love is action. True love, Paul says, expresses itself in action. So we cannot do like the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan and pass on the other side. We have to get involved. We have to demonstrate that we see and are able to respond to human need and suffering. We cannot say that that is not our business. Do we see ourselves as individuals, as a church, as blessed by God? Do we acknowledge the blessings? Are we able to reflect on those words of Jesus? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Because if we really believe it, it will transform us. If we really believe in the resurrection, then we will be people of faith. And nothing will shake that faith. Because we will keep that empty tomb ever before us, and it will always be a sign of hope and a sign of victory. And as people of faith, following Jesus the Christ, we will also be people of love. We will be able to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Love others as we love ourselves. And that love will call us to action, generous action in the world. We will not only give of the blessings that God has given us, but we will give of ourselves in loving service in the world. And so we need to understand, even as we celebrate another Easter, that the extent to which we believe in the resurrection is not about coming to Easter worship and to church during the Easter season. It is about allowing the risen Christ to change our lives, to help us to see the world through the eyes of Jesus, to help us to understand that God is calling us to respond to the needs of God's people, to understand that we, as we believe in the resurrection, can be agents of God's love in the world. Not our love, it's God's love. And so we are able to do what we have to do. Whatever task that God has put before us, we're able to do it with love. And Paul says that in fact, is the most excellent way. That is the way that they will know that, yes, we have not seen, but we believe. We believe indeed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. The Lord be with you. And so we stand on a firm of faith.